Wake up the heart, wake up the dream. There's more to the story than what we have seen. Faith in the fire, hope in the fight. Families rising,
stepping into the light. Raising expectations,
lift your eyes, lift your voice.
Raising expectations,
faith and freedom still have a choice. Here's Pastor Joe and Melba Schofield with wisdom clear and strong. With Stephanie Thayer and Dr. Craig Thayer helping move the hope along. Dr. Paul Hall and Ron Greer,
standing for truth and grace.
This is your life in America today, with courage in this place. To better, best together.
Raising expectations,
faith that carries on forever.
Hey friends, it's Monday night and we're sure glad you're tuning in tonight. Wow, what a week of celebration of the nation's birthday, and we're going to talk about that tonight and give opportunity to share if you've got a thought. It's really exciting to see what's happening. Makes me so proud to be an American, and we're excited. So we're going to move right along so we can all get in this discussion and share some of the things that just have touched us this last week. Again, I'm Pastor Joe, and this is my wife, Melba, right here. And we're together with you, welcoming this great team that we love so much. And you know very well who they are. We always start on the West Coast with Dr. Paul Hall, and he's in Lompoc. Poke is in cowboy. He's just above Santa Barbara, and he's there. There he is. He's ready to roll. Howdy, Paul.
Howdy.
There you go.
Fluent Texan. Howdy.
Yeah, still, yeah, there you go. Howdy, hi. Anyway, good to see you, brother. And if we go together, we're going to head back to the East Coast, actually the south part of the East Coast. And there we are in the great metropolis of Dalton, Georgia. And there we're going to see Dr. Craig, as you know, and Stephanie Thayer. And Stephanie Thayer is there, and they're a wonderful, incredible couple also. She is a great godly wife, a great mom. Boy, the stories they have to share. And also how she helps people and blesses people with her life and testimony. She's a business lady. Just you name it, God's guided her life and continues to. And we get blessed by it. But nowhere near the blessing that big guy on her left gets right there. That's Dr. Craig Thayer. And boy, he's always a blessing. Hearing stories and surgery and things that he has done, the two of them, and mission things together. Most of all, they're everyday witnesses to people they meet everywhere. They really believe like we do. If somebody crosses your path during the day, they ought to be a better person for having spent 60 seconds with you. And they ought to get lifted up for the smile on your face and the joy in your heart, because you don't have to do it. Jesus will, and that's what matters. So as we look at this and think about these things, by the way, if you'll join us and go each evening and during the week, we hope, to bbsradio.com/raising expectations, bbsradio.com/raising expectations. That'll take you to our website. A lot of things are going to be happening there. But there you'll see Will and the wonderful program we had last week about the 250 celebration. And also you see the names of the folks there. You'll get to know the team. You can text them or talk with them there, email them, whatever they do, put on there for you, and get to know them a little bit. And also right on there, the reason I thought about this again, you're going to find Dr. Craig's book. It's in the section of our book. It's called Saved. And what a testimony, finding God in the ordinary things of life. And I always tell Mel, well, that's the thing that makes me glad, because I live in the ordinary. God takes care of things in ordinary ways that are spectacular in results. And so you want to get a copy of his book, you can find it there. It's on our website. You want to get one. By the way, I hope you get a copy of my book, Legitimate Faith. That's the kind that produces authentic hope. That's the kind written by veterans who run over, crawl out of the hole, crawl back up, start over, but God is always there. And the things that we learn through the trials we face bring the joy to each of us that makes a difference that makes in people we meet. So hopefully you'll look at those, and they're right there on the website, and hope you'll be part of checking on that. Now, Ron Greer, one of our favorite ministers, you know, on our team there. He's in Texas. And Ron got called out the last minute. So I don't have any details, but he'll be back next week. And he said to wish you all well. He wish he was here tonight, but he'll be back strong next week for us. So we have, we just are going to have a good old-fashioned talk like we like to do. And somebody asked me, you know Janet. Boy, I've known Janet for a long time, but boy, she's known me. So I treat her really nice because we were in high school together. So, you know what that's like if you guys remember high school. So, and anyway, Janet, as you know, I write this up and somebody said, why don't you share it again? So, you know, as it says on a PR that we put out, you want to check on all the different sites. We're thrilled to have Janet back with us this Monday. And we're going to celebrate again with her talking the 250th birthday, rejoicing what God's doing all around us. And how does that happen? Through answered prayers. We're going to look back at our founding fathers and the sacrifices made to produce and procure the Constitution and to win an impossible war against the most powerful nation in history. You know, Janet often says, people of faith know God is in control. And as a woman of great faith and leader in the creation of the Golden State Republican Women, Janet shares a heartfelt insight into the political situation and what it means to all of us in America today. So her enthusiasm is contagious. You're going to see in just a minute. I hope you have a good glass of iced tea and you're ready for a great time tonight, folks. Janet is a part of our Raising Expectations family. And all of us on our team here, we love each other and we love these people who are part of our team. They come to us. I try to get them as often as we can because they have so much to share. So the interaction tonight ought to be very special. And if you feel like giving a call in and saying a 90 seconds or 2 minute thought you might have, I'm going to ask Stephanie. She never knows what she comes on the show. She's such a lady of faith. You never know what's coming next. But just in case somebody calls, TJ says he's got it covered and wants to share a great thought about this. So without any further ado, we want to welcome Janet. We want to give her the round of applause and welcome to your family, part of your show. Raising Expectations. Yes, you are all the way from Southern California and helping in a real battle, bringing conservative Republicans a voice back to change the state to where it needs to be. It's going to happen. You're going to hear all about some of those things tonight. Janet, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm better now that I'm with you guys. Okay. Honestly, it's so wonderful to see all of you. And we all are. I'm feeling very uplifted since that amazing celebration of the 4th that we had. Saw it on the Washington Mall, and if you waited long enough, and I think we all did, to hear the president speak 3 hours later, was it? Three Amen. Hours later? And then the amazing, see, I thought the fireworks was maybe a little overblown. You know, it's like, here, come on, you're in show business, and sure, it's the best ever, ever. No, it really was.
It's unbelievable.
It was unbelievable. I was so excited. I couldn't even go to sleep that night. Oh, and it has been an amazing, I don't know the last time I saw you guys, but at least what we've all been going through the last 2 or 3 months has been, to me, like a master's class in knowing the founding of this country. We hear it over and over again, but we can't hear it enough because the kids haven't been taught it. They haven't been, and that's by design.
Yeah.
Folks who don't know their history are easily controlled. They'll believe anything. And this is what we're turning around. And I'm grateful that we're living through this time in history because I see God's hand moving. I see things that we never expected happen. And I even carry, because Golden State Republican Women, we're into education because we know that the younger generation, and even younger than us, Joe, we're not taught true history. And that's why I've been hearing it so many places. And I'm grateful. This is God and government. Whoops. So if anybody says Jesus doesn't do politics, this came from Daily Bread. And this is all on how God and government are intertwined.
Janet, if I can just pause you real quick.
Yes.
I find that so comical. There's a book in the Bible called Judges.
Judges? I know, I saw it this morning. Like,
what?
What?
Yeah.
Well, if you think about everything that they, quote, stand for, but they don't stand for anything, it's all kind of comical if it wasn't so dark.
Yeah.
And destructive.
Yeah. Yes.
So I'm just carrying around the deck everywhere I go. Declaration of Independence, Constitution, also our flag and the protocol with our flag and the background of our flag, and also election integrity. I mean, this is what we're doing. We're just educating because people haven't been taught. So sorry to go on my little rampage, but I'm just so happy.
That's right.
Well, it's been worse. They haven't been taught cursive. So how can they read? Right.
How can they even sign checks? Oh, what's a check?
Well, read it out. Yeah. Read the declaration. It's in cursive.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah,
that's right.
That's amazing.
Guys, you remember we talked a little last week too about what they gave up, and you know, Will mentioned wall builders and what each of those people gave up. And of course, at the end, when Benjamin Franklin said, "We need to all hang together, otherwise we most assuredly hang on our own."
Hang separately, yeah.
Yeah, hang separately. That's it. Mm-hmm. That was a modern translation of that. Sorry, Jen. That's right. Our own. That's
I
right.
Wouldn't know. I wasn't there.
Oh no, me either. But yeah, it's true. What they went through, what they gave up, and when they take so lightly. When I was watching some of the stuff this week, how about you guys? I thought that one of the things the president said that just grabbed a hold of me there in Washington, D.C., let alone what he did at Mount Rushmore, which is breathtaking. But when he said, because I thought of my dad, and I thought of my relatives and my uncle who died on the beaches, strafed by Japanese in World War II. Oh. And when I think of these things, he said, we are not communists. We will not be. The United States of America is a totally and new situation, 250 years of something God put together that is a Judeo-Christian ethic. And we know the difference between that. We talked about the Declaration of Independence and the Revolution here versus the French Revolution, totally different. Mm-hmm. But what really got me was he said, and he mentioned people, they didn't die on the beaches of Normandy. They didn't give their lives here and there and everything, begin to think about this so that this would all be given up and called nothing. The people who are causing these problems, who revise history, who don't teach well in school, their children. I always think of, Stephanie, you, as you shared, you know, education that these people do for children now, and it's growing and growing and growing. They have no heart. They don't understand anything they're saying. And I really, at this point, don't get as angry inside. I feel sad because there, as far as I'm concerned, there's mental illness there beyond anything I could imagine. And I'll bet Tank has some thoughts on that. But I feel sorry, and I was so proud of that. And I've talked too much. I'm pitching it back to you, Jenna, and to everybody else.
Oh, no. I was the one that opened blah, 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 blah. Because I'm very enthusiastic. I'm excited. I feel grateful that we're living through this time in history because I feel it's moving. It's happening. It's moving. And I think we're all witnesses to it.
Yes.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
But this is not the first time that we've had socialism at our shores like this before. Remember in the 30s, 1930s, it rose up. And I believe that really what happened there when a world war happens, one or two, and we win, as we always did, there's a wave of patriotism that just sweeps over the country after World War I, World War II. And so that tamped down the snake in the grass, which was communism, that was going to take over. And they thought, darn it, they've won again. Okay, here I go. I'll just wait. But it's very patient, this snake, very patient. And I think they saw that there was absolute opportunity these last 4 years, and they just flooded the zone.
Mm.
But it's okay. We're going to win.
That's right. He said it clear. Anybody else have a thought there?
I've left them speechless.
That's it. That's it.
I think I'll go out and come in again.
No.
You know, I think the snake is very well organized, you know.
Yeah.
They've got their, they know what they want to accomplish, and they've just systematically put it in place, and it came in on cat's feet in a lot of places, you know, that people didn't see it. And I think one of the points of education, especially, you know, when I was in elementary school, they taught us to be critical in our thinking, you know, in a good way. You know, when you hear something, put the test to it. See if it rings true. And I think, you know, interestingly enough, when we were in high school, Janet and Joe and Melba, when we were in high school, the big move was the hippies. You know, it was running wild. And I remember at Santa Barbara City College, my first year of City College, we had a Baptist student union, and we only had like four people in it. I mean, it was very small, but they were pretty turbulent times. But there were, I remember a group called the Students for a Democratic Society.
Exactly.
You know, and they would carry exactly. the flags and they would have rallies on campus and things like that. And people began to get very lax, you know, like, well, that doesn't concern me. That's over there. Until we realized it was in our house. And, you know, and so I think we've got a wonderful opportunity, but a great responsibility in front of mm-hmm. us.
It is. Because, and it is up to us. It is on our shoulders. We're the only generation that can do it now.
Yeah. And I just think, you know, I'm glad you brought up recent history, you know, because recently, you know, Janet, it hasn't been that long in the history of our nation that the snake had to be dealt with before, you know, and then, you know, president comes along, Wilson, and he's got a great idea. And, you know, and then we move into interesting things like Johnson's Great Society and blah, 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 blah. And all of these things, all these structures were put into place that we're seeing now. And I think we know that those structures are crumbling, but they're very formidable. And it's disheartening for a lot of people. So you've got the hippies, and now you've got the children of the hippies teaching our children and grandchildren. And it just goes on and on. So I say we get a united front. We start speaking the truth in love, and we stand up for what we believe. You know, it's just, we just can't take this lying down and say, it's not my problem.
No, because it is.
Yeah.
It is is our problem. And so I hope this is like a call to arms. Everything that's been happening, there's been a lot of opportunities for people with what's been happening recently to wake up. Yeah. I think, you know, eyes are being opened, ears are being unstopped, and people are going, wow, I didn't know it was this bad, or I didn't know it was that. I didn't believe it was that. I thought it was this. Mm-hmm. So this is why this time to me is exciting, because I've always felt like Xena, the warrior princess, yes. dress in the armor of God, take my, and just go out and get them.
That's it.
That's what I always felt since I was 14. And at 14, nobody would believe me. You're such an idiot. Yeah, well, you wait 50 years.
You know, back in the 30s, there, when Hitler's just beginning to rise, there were a lot of people who were sucked in by what he was saying because they didn't see the consequences of the actions that he would take. And there was a Lutheran pastor named Martin Niemöller, and you may have heard of him before, but Martin Niemöller, and he was anti-communist, anti-Semitic, interesting, and he was a supporter of Hitler. And then he began to wake up, and he said, wait a minute. And the blinders kind of came off of his eyes, and he took a stand and really became one of the leaders of the Lutheran clergy that were opposed to Hitler. But in a speech in 1947, after the war, and you've probably heard this before, but it's so pertinent to where we live today. Mm-hmm. He said, first they came for the communist, and I didn't speak out because I was not a communist. And then they came for the socialist, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. And then they came for the trade unionist, and I didn't speak out because I was not a trade unionist. And then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. And then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak out for me. And I just think that's where we are now. You know, it's present tense, you know, post-speak.
Yeah. And there is so much, I almost want to turn, I don't, I do my devotionals first, but I want to find out what's happened overnight because it's such a time of turmoil and action and reaction. And so I'm just afraid when I wake up in the morning, what the heck has happened? I thought, okay, calm down and go to God. He's got it. He's got it in his hands. And there's nothing that is happening now that he didn't know would happen and that he isn't in control of tomorrow and the future. He's got it. So there's no reason for us to be anxious. You know, we all have stories about what he's done in each of our lives. And so that absolutely keeps us from ever doubting, ever doubting. I think of, Lord, you breathe this universe into being, and you take time to listen to my prayers. You take time for me. It's an amazing time, and I can hardly, but I know distinctly he wanted President Trump for such a time as this. Mm-hmm. Right now, there is no other president we've ever, ever, ever had who could go through this right now.
I get so tired of hearing that phrase, Christian nationalism, Christian this and Christian national.
And white nationalism.
It's not about anything that you're saying, I say to them, but we were a Christian nation. We are a Christian nation. We were founded on that. That's what made, again, different from the French. We knew the things. The basic tenet to begin with was the nature of man. We knew that the nature of man needed God. The French said, oh, no, we're enlightened now. Same thing's going on today. Every single one of these groups that are off the wall with what they say, they despise God. They want no church life, no family. The nuclear family that, gee, God had a pretty good idea when he did that. They don't want anything to do with that. So what do they do instead? They say, we're going to burn it all down. They try to cloak it, but they understand it. And the difference today is, boy, Paul had a good point there with the end of World War II, with Niemöller and all of them. And the guy I'm trying to think of that Al Staggs did, remember, Paul? I'm drawing a blank, but Eric Bonhoeffer. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, yeah.
I visited Eric was the church where he was found.
Yeah, and so close to almost being saved. But they all knew that the nature of man was bad. The nature of man was self-centered. It's all about me. Black Lives Matter. Oh, gee, 6 million for what? You know, look at the heart of these people who are doing these things. It's just wrong. Who spout racism? Racism on everything.
Absolutely.
God loves every race. So don't talk about God. Don't talk about the church. I don't believe the Bible. He loves us all. If I get into that, then I'm exposed. The Bible, the Word of God, exposes them. We don't need a 40-pound Bible to hit them over the head with, because you said
God is in control. That one from Dr. Jeremiah.
Yeah.
It's at least that heavy.
Yeah. God is in control. He knows what's going on. But we need to remember today, Hitler didn't have, and neither did the Kaiser. He did not have TikTok. TikTok today is... These people get on there and they pretend that they're theologians, historians, mathematicians, scientists, space. This, they are not. Wow. And yet we have a whole culture that is very simple for them to take the simple things that they quite often say or out of context as I peruse them and turn them into something they're trying to push quite easily. And again, don't bring up God unless you want to infuriate somebody. So instead, I'm just going to let God bring them up.
I want to infuriate people.
I just want to let God bring them up. Yeah, or not. Yeah.
No, I don't hold my tongue anymore. I'm not sure I ever really did, right, Joe? But now I've got a fire in my belly that just won't go out.
That's right.
And you can look back, like Paul was doing, you can look back and see the plan of dismantling the nuclear family. And that, of course, also dismantles the church. But I can look back, and maybe you guys remember, when the Me Too movement was there, the women's movement was there, and you were nothing if you had to have a husband, but go out and compete with him, get the same kind of job, earn more money. This was pushing people away. And this made people, if you think about the sitcoms that were on back then, all the men were portrayed as stupid. All the men were the bumbling idiots. And it was the mother who knew it all, and she just put it all together. But I go back to Father Knows Best. Yeah. Father Knows Best. Mm-hmm. Right, when we actually had a man who was portrayed as having wisdom that the family listened to.
Yeah.
So this just was pulling the family apart. And now when you say, I think you said, Paul, there are so many families that have no father in the home. Mm-hmm. This was by design. And this was so the government could control, make the women dependent on government handouts and continue that generation to generation. Their kids are dependent. And a strong man is not at all admired or respected or anything. I consider President Trump a strong man. And I think that's why they absolutely revile him.
Yes. And Ronald Reagan, too.
Yes, but he was a gentler.
He was gentle, yeah.
He still said, tear down this wall. Yeah. And God bless him for that. But we have a New York brawler in the White House. Go get him. He doesn't even care what they say about him.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it fuels him, honestly.
You pardon?
I think Trump gets fueled by
people. Yes.
Oh, well, that's a thought.
That's interesting.
It has the opposite effect of what they are hoping for. Yeah.
Well, they're not going to destroy his passion for this country. He loves this country. And I'm sure you guys saw both of the speeches, one at Mount Rushmore. And then was it last night? What day is today?
Yes. Nights ago.
Two nights.
Okay, who's counting? But the thing is that his speech was one for the ages.
Yeah,
absolutely one for the ages.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Where did the shows like Andy Griffith and the Waltons, and My Three Sons, and Dennis the Menace?
They had a family. They had a nuclear family portrayed.
Yeah.
And then it began to, you know, tear all apart because they don't, a nuclear family is the basis of the strength of our country. And that's a nuclear family belonging to a church is even more of an adversary for them.
Does David love God's proof? I mean, he's completely purposeful. He's completely in control. And look, the timing of the World Cup.
Wow.
Irish,
all these people from other companies are coming over here and going, oh my God, America's incredible.
I don't know if you've seen the reels. I love TikTok. He sticks to Instagram, but the foreigners visiting, it's delightful. Like they are so excited about just wholesome America stuff. And a lot of them say, gosh, we were so nervous to even come here. We heard all these things and it's amazing. And Americans are so nice. And they're talking about the parades on 4th of July. And like, they are throwing candy and it's hitting me in the head and it's great. You know, like really sweet to hear. And then to see the cultures kind of mesh. Like we saw one in Boston where there was a street performer and a bagpipe guy started playing with them and they were collaborating. And so there's just this sweetness of appreciating your culture. And I think for some of these countries, especially visitors from Europe that are seeing a lot of their culture disappear,
oh, sure.
It makes
It's
you
the
have,
same thing happening. Yes, same
it
thing.
makes you have more of an appreciation because there are certain things that are very American, right? And they are seeing that. And I think that it's easy to call out the negative. You know, with kids, they say for one negative, you need 10 positive. And we're just doing the same thing with our nation and saying, hey, look at this. And, you know, news thrives on all the negativity, all of that. It doesn't really serve any of us. Even if we disagree on something, we should have a conversation rather than this, you know, just getting really angry at each other. And one of the things that drives me crazy, and I'm not sure what, because the rest of you are in California, but now that we're in Georgia, you know, we're very north. We're one of the more rural counties. It's historically a red county, like 80% or something. 22% of registered voters went out to vote. That was it in this last primary.
7%.
Every single time I have ever been able to vote, and I've had our kids go out and just learn the process. And it's disheartening to me because there's not this sense of value for going to vote, but then they want to complain. And I'm like, yes. A fifth of you went to vote. A fifth.
Exactly.
7% elected Mandami.
God. 7%
elected Mandami. And this is one reason they want to you know, tamp us down, our enthusiasm, because they want their few to elect a communist. And that's what's been happening. It's not that there's this huge wave happening over this nation. It's not.
Well, and if
just
you
like Paul said, they're organized.
If you can mobilize a group, what's the impact? So if it only took 7%,
that's it.
Very small.
Yes. And then he went and endorsed the people who got probably the same percentage. And people are going, wow, there's a huge wave of social. No, there isn't.
That's right.
There isn't.
That's
right.
No, that's interesting because there's a stat known for a long, long time. 7% of the population, if they're extremely vocal, seem like 51%.
Yes.
Yes. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Except, so we've got to keep our hope. Yes, go ahead.
Believers need to mobilize, right? Look at the Bible. You can get your conviction there. It doesn't say Republican or Democrat, but it has a very good, beautiful, ethical blueprint, which our country also happened to be founded on.
Yes, yes.
Well, yes. That's why they want to tear our country down, because they don't believe in God. And they hate the fact that America was founded on a belief in God, the Judeo-Christian values. So they hated it from the beginning.
Yeah.
It's interesting you talk about the people on the streets like that. And I immediately thought about some of those things. But that, once again, goes back to the Judeo-Christian ethic, like Janet said, because God says there's a void spot. We're made body, soul, and spirit. The body you can see. The soul is your mind, emotion, and will, which you can really fix or mess up. But that spirit, that heart, it will never be satisfied without the loving touch of God and calling God into your life. And not some God that wants everybody to do what they say or they'll be killed on the spot. Not some God that demands, but the God who paid it all. And he did it all on the cross. There's nothing more you can do except look up and be honest. If you don't want to be honest with anybody, if you'll just take a moment all alone and look up into the heavens and I'd say, I choose to be honest. If you're there, let me hear you. You don't have to prove yourself. I'm just listening. In the heart, like you're saying. Now, when people do that and different groups meet, you go to different places around the world and they come together and they know Jesus. There's this bond. And it's not because we like spaghetti or pizza or this or that or the other. It's because fudge, maybe. But it's really,
okay, I'll
it's
that.
Maybe. Yeah, I wanted to throw that step. But it's because all of a sudden that same void is touched. If the Lord is there with them, you can't put it in words. And it's so simple. So arguing generates more heat than light. But just telling the truth and lovingly standing up, like Janice says, hey, there it is. I just got to the place where I want to say the truth more than ever in my life to everybody. But arguing generates more heat than light. And it just kind of burns down any bridge. I leave it to him, but I stand up.
We have a a pure heart. You know, I ask for three things when I wake up in the morning. I say, Lord, let your thoughts be my thoughts. Let your words be in my mouth. And let my heart reflect the heart of Christ.
Yes.
If you have a loving heart, but you know the truth, you won't argue.
Yeah.
You won't get angry at people at all.
Yeah, that's
you
true.
can just speak truth, and you've got Christ's authority in you. So
yeah.
they can't possibly come back with hatred.
And I'm done with this thought. I'm going to kick this ball out there, but that most important thought is what? Hey, we have the answer. I mean, you want to argue, you want to do this, that, and the other. It doesn't matter what we say. There's the peace that passes understanding, and there's a smile on my face that comes from the Lord. And if you want to get mad at me, that's okay. I mean, I don't like people being mad at me, but I still care about you.
I don't
you.
Really mind anymore.
Yeah.
I'm so used to it. I live in California and I do politics, sure.
Yeah.
You have to have a little bit more of thick skin. I think some of that has just been.
I have told people that since this whole thing started happening, that my skin is like that of a rhinoceros.
Yeah.
You can't pierce it. You just can't. And I don't get angry. Thing. Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry, Steph.
I was just going to say that's a good thing.
Yes.
Well, it's my armor of God.
Yeah.
That's right. I'm a rhinoceros in an armor.
Frank will like that, right, guys? Frank will like that. Like Rhino, yeah.
Love it.
But this is where God fights for us. He says, the battle is mine. And so we don't ever have to feel like we're fighting a battle all by ourselves and that no one is beside us, behind us, in front of us. No. I know God is fighting my battles for me. So I can exhale and go, you've got it. You've got it. And he points me one direction or the other direction. And I've stopped also making, well, I don't want to be a liar. I make small to-do lists. I used to have long to-do lists.
Yeah,
but now I go, okay, I get up, you do the to-do list. I'll just see which ones you highlight and I'll get that done. But it takes anxiety out of my day.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't live anxiously. We can't. And nobody will ever want to believe what we believe or follow us if we're a nervous wreck.
Amen. Yeah.
Nobody will follow us. I go, oh no, I don't want to be like her or him.
That's
well,
true.
And I almost said, but then I paused and the conversation shifted. But with looking at who you vote for, you look for their fruits, right? And it's actually quite difficult for me to find the fruits of different candidates here. For whatever reason, I don't like how the Georgia system is, even knowing days of voting, like it's not as easy, or maybe as outspoken in California, which is what I was used to, right? But it's the same with us. Am I going to be attracted to wanting to hang out with someone that has good fruit? If they don't have fruit, that's not appealing to me, right? And I think we've all as believers had people reach out to us because they see something is different. They may not know what it is, but they're like, hey, I'm attracted to whatever you have there. And hopefully that's Christ in you, right? That's what
it's got to be. What else is so authentic?
Yeah.
We can't fake it. We can't pretend we're Christians.
Yeah.
We have to walk in Christ's steps and reflect him. And that's what will bring other people to our, I shouldn't say, because this is actually, I forget, I'm just not talking to all of you guys. But one of my friends was at the Hollywood Bowl the other night, and she used to be on the Bill Maher show, and she had an office across. And so there was a very well-known woman attorney back then who was very, very liberal, and she took all the cases. I don't think they called them trans back then, but it was, what would you call that? Anyway, she would always fight for the lesbians and gays and stuff. Anyway, very liberal. But my friend told me today, I ran into her after years at the Hollywood Bowl, and she took a picture and she said, can you believe it? She came over to me and said, I am now a patriot. I totally understand now what you've always believed. Mm-hmm. And I am now on your side. I mean, she's so well known, I won't say the name, but aren't we happy that people
yeah, God's are time. Amen.
Yes.
Yeah, the veil's lifted. Yeah.
Yeah, amen. Yeah.
And with people you don't expect. I love those surprises.
One of the things, you know, I'm a recovering people pleaser. Hi, my name's Stephanie. I can still be really sweet, but I don't need to please everybody. Yeah. One of the things that I have found that really helps me, because I tend to go from love to like overly direct, because confrontation is hard for me. So there's not a lot of in between. But when I'm asked moral and ethical questions, one of my favorite answers is, it's not really what my opinion is, which I have very strong opinions, but it's what the Bible says. That's my moral compass. That's what I look to. And it's really interesting the responses I get when that's the angle I take whenever I'm asked an ethical question, because there's not a lot of places to go. It's not really you say, I say. It's, hey, this is what I use for my moral guidance. And that therefore dictates. And sometimes I don't understand some of the things and I have to get in there and I have to study and ask the Lord why. And I have found that that has actually helped to diffuse some conversations because it's not personal. And right. Then I noticed that they will also often ask more questions later. And like you were saying, you know, gender is a very hot topic one. Mm-hmm. And they'll say, well, how can that be? I said, well, there's sins all over the Bible. What do you mean? It's a sin like other sins? Yes, it's a sin like other sins. So it starts other conversation rather than this is the one thing we're focused on. Actually, God says, you're all sinning. You need to turn to me.
It's a big tent.
Everything in a big tent.
Yeah.
I love the fact that I know now, it took God a long time because I want to go out and charge and save the world. But God said, no, you're not everybody's savior. I am.
Yeah.
I'm the savior. You can just sit down kind of quietly and watch me work. But I used to be afraid that, because I still know, I'm sure all of us do, know people who don't know the Lord. And some people have a very hard heart against him. And some people are just questioning. But I used to be afraid that if I didn't say the exact right thing at the exact moment, that their life was going to hell and it was my fault. So God gentled me down and said, no, if I want you to say something, I'll open your mouth and you will be surprised what comes out. Mm-hmm. But it's me and it's my word. And it's like you were saying, Stephanie, it's the Bible is our big GPS. That's what guides us. That's our map. And so it's not personal when you speak to people like that anymore. Just show them the Bible.
Yeah. Who's the person that's in the room when people get mad or very angry about something or everything piles up and their human nature kicks in? Who's the person in a group of people in a room that they go after? It's usually the person that's quiet, that they can dump all over. They're going to attack them and yada, yada, yada. And that person's not going to come back and come up and pop them in the nose. They're just, okay. You know, guess what? Jesus said, that person's just a reflection of what I did for you at Calvary. I died on the cross. So if you got a load, dump it on me, because you know what you're going to get back? More of my love and hopefully some insight and some light, because I gave you a will. You could decide, but I've done it for you. And so sometimes a quiet person in the room can be the one, you know, that God uses in a special way also. And there's times where you got to, you know, stand up and do something right. I had a professor, Paul, you remember. I think it was Dunnigan, Dr. Clint Dunnigan, or one of those. I think that was it. He said, don't you guys remember what Jesus said? And we said, yeah, what do you mean? He said, turn the other cheek, right? And he says, you need to know what that means. That says you spot them two cheeks and then you beat the heck out of them. And he said, now that I have your attention, let's go a little deeper with this. I never forget that. But
That's fun. I wouldn't forget that either.
Yeah, so that's the people that are there, and so many of these people are so lost. Once they quit defending these unbelievably stupid ideas, they sit back. You can almost feel them go, if nobody's looking, because inside they're so tumultuous. If they come to you or something in you, you share the love of Christ with them, and but it's based, like you all are saying, it's based on the facts. I identify with these facts and the people that I support and the life that I live by the grace of God.
That's right. That's right. By the grace of God. I think if we just, I when I say we, I mean all Christians, but I'm talking from my experience. If I just submit at the beginning of the day, just submit myself and say, okay, Lord, this is your day. You've made it. I'll follow in your footsteps. And regardless of what it looks like to me, if it's confusing or whatever it is, I know you're in charge because I've just invited you in to my day. And it works out better. I sleep better. Don't watch the news at night, though, guys.
Have that where you know, the day maybe starts off not like you had planned, and then partway through the day, you're like, oh no, I didn't spend time with the Lord. I didn't do because it was a rush. It's all you can tell when it's off track. Never the way you go.
I know. Sometimes I'll stop and I'll look at the clock and go, wait a minute. Where'd all the
I was just remembering different things that I've experienced in the last 50 years, if you can imagine.
Can.
But there are times when people would come up to me. I remember being in our host church. I was part of a Hispanic group, and some lady came running down the hallway, and I'm standing at the door greeting people, and she goes, Mel, I need prayer. And I'm going, do I know you? And I thought, well, okay. So I embraced her and I just prayed for her. I didn't know what her issue was, didn't even know her name. And I just prayed for her out of necessity and for God to calm her heart and give her peace. And it didn't take but a minute or two. And she goes, thank you. So she walked back down to attend the service. And every time that's, I've had people when I worked at the last church I was at, several people would come, can I talk to you? I said, okay. And I get, you know, I'm a very detailed person. And so when I'm on my job, I have my day planned, and God opens those doors. Get your plan. And so, you know, they'll come in and ask different things and want some type of guidance. I said, well, let's pray. I said, because only God can show you what needs to be done. And so I had several people come down to my office. I was just somebody's secretary. But you know, God knows when we're available. And that's when He's going to send that person to seek your suggestions, your prayer to see God, you know. And so I have learned I don't go out and seek people. They just come
They come to you.
to me. And
Yes.
so I think we've talked about this before, is like when I decided to join this church 3 years ago, the pastor was preaching about Noah and how he asked him to build this ark where there was no rain, no
Never
clouds
seen
in the
rain.
sky,
They had
and
never seen rain.
he never didn't know what it was. And so Pastor John kept saying, now he didn't ask for a hammer. He didn't say, I don't have any nails, I don't have any wood. He just stepped out on faith. And that's what I did. And God took care of me for the last 3 or 4 years. So the last thing that the pastor said, well, were you going to pick up a stone? And so I thought, okay, I'm going to go pick up a stone. And so, you know, that started my employment with them, because I just went in as a visitor and I joined the church, and then all of a sudden they offered me a job. And so you receive blessings through other avenues, not knowing what's going to happen. But I've noticed that in even when I was in college, there was a lot of my on my floor where I lived in the dorm. that would come in and ask for prayer, or, you know, just a word is all they needed. And God always was there. He's always around us, but to be available and to be ready and to be, responding to that moment in time, because you only sometimes only have that one moment with that one person. So that's,
and I think like Joe said, we're made up body, mind, and spirit. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a spirit around you, Melba, that searching people detect, and they will come to a person who has that Christ-like spirit, mm-hmm. which means of course you're available. And of course you would speak his words because you're a godly woman. Oh, is your hand raised, Joe?
Yes, I was wanting
to say something.
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And I'm, you know, when we hear about our founding fathers, and you mentioned, Joe, how much they sacrifice. Oh my gosh. And there are so many now movies that are put out and things on Fox Nation. Kelsey Grammer has done Patriot Nation. And I want to have time to see all of it because I crave to know more about the founding fathers. And I think God breathed those documents.
That's right.
When you read them, it's like supernatural, isn't it? It is like no man, especially with very little education, and they were young, could write down documents that have held a nation fast for 250 years. It has never been done.
And how well thought out it was for
right. our so, president. I mean, I think God, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And they gave him all the credit, you know, as they were writing those words. So
I really believe God was writing right through their hands, giving them ideas, giving them inspiration, because when you read it, there's nothing else like it. The Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, there's nothing like it.
That, thinking about those men and the leaders that they were, is one of the great things that we produced, whereas the French Revolution, they produced the opposite, a dictator who didn't know who he was. We produced great leaders because they knew that they needed to check their moral charts. I love to study Washington. In fact,
oh, yes.
I tell you, when you just follow the life of Washington, of course, it was in 1753 with the French and Indian War, and you remember the timing on that, how the French started coming back and certain Indian tribes with them and Native Americans there. And he loved his state, but he also, you remember, was not of the upper class. There was a class system still, although in America it cared. But anyway, he went to take care of, after he did the surveying out there to show what was out there in the Appalachians part of Virginia, it all broke out, the war. And you remember the story, this really touched me, that he took a group of not regular soldiers, but militia. Now, militia was far inferior, at least in the attitude, the way the British Army treated them. And he went out there, and this French had taken over a couple of forts. They came in with a Native American tribe there who wanted their land back, and that they pretty much wiped out his troops with him in Washington's only defeat. He's a young man there. I think he's like 22, 23, and they built a fort because of the flood, Fort Necessity. Quickly, they were surrounded. They finally lost it all. They washed out, and they lost everything. And then all of a sudden, when he was disgraced beyond belief, he came back, and they sent him out again, but this time in a very different way, because he talked to his mother, and his mother shared the Bible. Wow. And basically told him, it's not about what you feel you want to do to get what you think you need to have, but basically in her words, she said, what does providence have for you? Of course, whenever I see the word providence, I think of Tank growing up on Providence Avenue. It's the first thing in my mind now. If I was there, Tank, I said, but you see, what does he say for you? He changed his entire mind. He went back that time and with Braddock, and they, when he went out and they were taken out again. He personally saved the lives of the Virginia militia. He did all of these things, and he turned it around and he said, it's not about me. It's about Providence, what God is doing and what he wants me to do. And then you remember, I mean, that's why he stood so strong. That's why he let them blast at him in anger. That's why he still cared for him, as angry as with Benedict Arnold when he let him go. And when all of these things happened, he saw them through a new light. And I guess I'm starting to see all these people. They are so wounded and hurting and messed up in New York and all these places. Look at this mayor of Seattle. And you look at all these things in a new light and you say, God, you know, but for me, but for you, maybe I'd be dumb doing things like this. What do you want me to do about that? And he changed it all the way around. Not a king. It's not a king, but they use. Just irritates me. He was not a king. He was a man for the men, for the women, for the children. And we need to do that. We need to stay strong on the course, like you said, Janet. We know what we believe. Nobody should question what Joe Schofield believes about Jesus Christ and about my country. Don't call me Christian nationalism. No, I love my Savior. He's my God. And I love my nation because they look to him. And that's what I want to do. I'm all done. Excuse me. But I get excited thinking about this.
I love that. That's why I do too. Zip it.
Yeah.
This is very exciting to me. And it's exciting to me that really what we're seeing repeated in this country, there are stories like this all through the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to feel because we're being attacked and misrepresented and believing they believe lies and all that. That's happened throughout the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So this is biblical. And I believe that God is going to save this nation. And I'm going to go out on a limb now. I believe he's going to save California.
No, that's right.
Better not save this video.
Yeah.
Well, I really believe because things are setting up and people's eyes are being opened. There are so many terrible things that are happening now politically that people have to stand up and take a stand and say, no, I will not support someone who has done that. I will not support someone who believes that or hates this country. At the core of it is a hatred for our nation. Can you believe anybody would?
It's misguided.
Wonderful. Yeah. Nation on earth created by God. And look at our wonderful founding fathers and our documents that have held so strong. And our July 4th, when I'm still so on high from seeing that from Mount Rushmore and then the next night. And even the weather was, I believe, ordained by God for his purposes.
Yeah. It really, think about it. Just let it sink. Wow.
So for 4th of July, we were at a friend's house that had a whole bunch of property. And in the South, fireworks are everywhere and people are doing, I mean, last night at midnight, I was like, could a neighbor please be quiet? So they do serious shows on their property. Like it's not little. So this, it's ongoing. It's probably 30 minutes. Look up in the sky and like the fireworks are here and there's this cloud, just this one cloud up here. And the Lord just put on a show. He put on, it was lightning. It was so beautiful. The whole cloud just lit up. Like the Lord's you're going to try to make that. I'll show you the real thing. And it was nowhere else in the sky.
I love that.
So sweet.
It wasn't.
I love that.
Yeah, it was lightning just sticking to the cloud.
Super atmospheric.
It was like.
So it's just in clouds.
Wow.
I have seen so much in clouds.
Yeah.
You guys would think I'm crazy. I write down a lot of these experiences that I have that can only come from God. But this yesterday morning, I looked out and there was a cloud that was shaped just like an arrow. It wasn't fuzzy. It was just like an arrow. And I thought, okay, Lord. So what are you telling me now? I opened my devotional book. I had a bookmark I've had for years. It was an arrow. I could look at the sky, and I looked at my bookmark, and it was the same. And it said, well being straight ahead. Shall be well.
Mm-hmm.
I think that maybe I'm crazy. I don't know.
No, I don't think so. I think I had a backpack trip that was a week long up in the Sierras.
Yeah.
North Rail, we're just big backpack, 70 pounds, bunch of guys. And I was talking to one of the guys on the trip about God and Jesus, and he wasn't of faith. And I go, oh, look at that cloud. It's like first day, there's this beautiful angel cloud.
Oh, yeah, I see
it. I go, hey, Tom, why don't you look up at the clouds every day? There's a great angel in the cloud.
Something there. There's a message.
You know, Charles Schultz had a little thing, Peanuts, one time, and where Charlie Brown and Linus and Lucy were laying down on their backs looking at the clouds, and they said, Lucy, what do you see? And she says, well, I see Moses, the great lawgiver, coming down from Mount Sinai. And he said, well, that's good. And Linus, what do you see? And Linus said, well, I see Elijah on top of Mount Carmel thundering against the prophets of Baal. And what do you see, Charlie Brown? He said, well, I was going to say a horsey and a ducky, but I've changed my mind. You know, there you go.
I love Charles Schultz.
Yeah.
And, you know, toward the end, they were blocking him.
Yeah, they were.
They were blocking him. Because he was too Christian for them.
Yeah.
Talented, talented man. So much that I look up in the sky all the time, but I've never had anything so clear.
Mm-hmm.
As I opened the drapes, I go, there's an arrow. What's that? And, you know, you don't usually see something with straight borders in the sky. Well, okay, well, I'll do my devotionals, pick it up, and there's the arrow.
Said, you sure it wasn't a B-52? Maybe it was a B-52. That looks like an arrow.
Could have been anything.
that could be a good sign.
Yeah.
No, I applaud your sensitivity.
Rainbows and things, you know, yeah. God promises us that. So I was just reading in Joel this morning, his promise that after all the locusts, the huge, it was four pages. Joel's so short. But it's all about the locusts. And then God saved him. But he said, the Lord promises, I will restore the years the locust has eaten.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I had a little girl in Bible study that loved it so much. She came back with it tattooed on her arm. I said, oh, what's that? What's that missing? She said, well, you talked about it. Because of you, I got this tattoo. I don't want to be responsible, but it really spoke to her because she's been through a lot. But you know, we all have, and I think God tests his people. He tests us. We're supposed to go through things, hard things. But he promises to restore the years of locusts eaten. So I know we've all been stripped of a lot of stuff, and America's been stripped, but it will be restored.
Yep.
Is just so heartening to me.
That's right. It's great to know we're not alone.
I don't know how much time we've got left, maybe just a couple minutes, but the most quoted person in all of history, his name is Anonymous. Anonymous said that?
Anonymous, sir.
I like to take the time to walk with the ones who They're the shoulders of the giants we stand on. You know, I mean, they thought and they wrote and unapologetically. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I ran across today when I was just doing some reading, I don't know if you're familiar with Viktor Frankl. Frankl was he was thrown into a prison camp during World War II, and his family was killed, but he came out of that, and he in one of his books about the meaning of life, he wrote a statement. He said, an abnormal reaction to an abnormal situation is normal behavior. And I started thinking about that. An abnormal reaction to an abnormal situation is normal behavior. For example, if I understand what he has to say, we've got a lot of abnormal things going on in and around us, okay? If our reaction to that is no reaction at all, that's abnormal. We should in Christ call it out. And so if we don't develop that as a part of our lifestyle, then our not speaking becomes the normal reaction to what's going on around us. And then I thought a little bit more, and y'all can help me if my hat's on crooked here, but isn't it amazing that in our country, we have to have rules and regulations and even laws to protect people who dare to speak the truth, whistleblowers? You know, why don't whistleblowers, I mean, why don't we raise them up and say, that's the way it should be. That's the way you call it out, you know, bring some truth in the matter of it. And then that led me to and I'll quit right here. Anonymous said, most men die in a conspiracy of silence. And thinking about, you know, conspiracy of silence, it's when we either by willingness or unwillingness, we choose to ignore or avoid or not to acknowledge something that's just absolutely abhorrent. It's wrong, you know, and not to call that out, but to die in a conspiracy of silence. I think that's a sobering thought to think about. We can not afford as Christians not to speak the truth in love, honestly, to speak the truth in love, and it can be done, but we have been fed the pablum that don't do that, you know, you'll upset so-and-so, you'll offend so-and-so. The gospel is offensive. It is offensive to those who are Christian.
It divides.
Sure, absolutely. So just some thoughts, you know, just, my
that,
brain just
I love that anonymous. But, you know,
that's well, it.
And Jesus was offending people. And Paul, the book that you're mentioning, one of my business mentors suggested three books to me. And Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning was one of them. I got it on audio, no idea what it was about. I am very, very sensitive to war. Mm-hmm. And so I realized very quickly, this is taking place in a concentration camp. And I finished it. It's one of the best books I've ever read. Mm-hmm. I highly encourage people to go through it. It's very powerful.
What's the name of it again, Stephanie? I know it's Viktor Frankl.
Man's Search for Meaning. And he's observing it's like the will to survive and what is it in people and what isn't it. And I mean, talk about he had the perfect setting to, unfortunately, to experience it, right?
Think of James 4:17, whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him is sin.
Mm-hmm.
Is sin.
That's it. Yeah.
Not to speak up is not the right thing to do.
I think we Republicans, I will take this on myself, have been too nice through the years. I think we have put up with too much, thinking that's the right thing to do. Well, we'll just be quiet and, you know, no, you're right, Paul. We're called to speak truth, but doing it in love, not argumentative, not offensive. And they killed Jesus because he was offensive.
Right.
Many martyrs have gone down, not like the Son of God, but there have been many, many through the years who have been martyred for their faith.
That's right.
So
take just a second here. And ladies and gentlemen, I hope you're hearing these things. We're sure sharing our heart with you. And I think that many of you may feel that way also. Speaking about speaking the truth in love, I was going to ask Stephanie to tell you a little bit about how she can reach out and how you can be a part of our family. Take it away, Steph, for a word.
We always love you guys hanging out with us. You should know where to connect, but if you don't, we'll remind you, bbsradio.com/raising expectations. It's a great website to share with your friends and family to have them participate and listen in. At the top, you'll see there's ways to listen live, not only to our show, but other shows. And then as you scroll down, there's ways that you can donate. We always appreciate this. This is a ministry. It does take money for us to be on the air. We have the fancy technology ways, and then we also have the snail mail ways if you want to contact Pastor Joe directly to make a gift. We appreciate that. And then if you continue to scroll down, you can find our prior shows. You can even do a search find in there and look for guests. Janet has been on many, many times. We're blessed to have her as part of the family. And then as you can continue down, you'll see different ways to learn about each of us as co-hosts, how to connect with us. We love hearing from you guys. Please feel free to reach out. It's always a blessing to us when you do that. And then you'll see Pastor Joe's book. You'll see my husband's book. So all kinds of different ways that you can support us. And most of all, we just thank you for listening in and participating. And like Janet has been sharing, if we each individually speak up and we do it lovingly, what's the outcome of that, right?
Right. Every word that's spoken, God can use in different ways, especially when he puts them there. Amen. There's keywords. Stephanie, you probably remember the word, and I don't even remember the word they're called. There are keywords, like if you look up tonight's show, and you look, of course, under Janet's name, Janet Price, or you look, just pop the keyword in, politics, or to celebration 250, pop that in there. It'll bring you to her on this show. That's a part of what VBS does there on our site, and you'll be able to follow that. And then, of course, you can go in and find tonight's show. Tonight, it'll be on there, but also there will be a write-up on that, things that were said and shared. And you feel like you're part of the family that way, like it's written just for you as part of it. Thanks, Stephanie. Appreciate you very much. And thank Janet. It's and looking at this, huh, Paul? Can you take like 2 minutes and give us one thing that you like us to be praying for you? And then we're just going to have a quick prayer for you as we send out the show tonight. Two key things you're looking at, one or two.
You're talking to me?
Yeah.
At all. Okay, well, certainly I pray that God brings us, I ask everyone's prayers to bring us integrous leaders here in California. It's a wonderful state. I was born and raised here, and my heart is here. I'm not going to leave. And I believe that more people should be called to speak truth about what has been happening here. There's been a lot of fraud. There's been a lot of deception. We have not had free and fair elections for a long time. So I believe it is time. I don't think there's another time like this. So please pray that God brings us integrous leaders, and also that he protects our wonderful president and his cabinet, his family, and just put his hand over them and wraps them in a bubble wrap of blessings.
Amen.
For that. Thank you.
Amen. Janet, thanks so much for being with us too. And Melba, how about praying for Janet tonight, just for that? Thanks.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for Janet and for her thoughts and her sentiments about what her life has been, Lord. Thank you for using her. Thank you for her commitment to the state, first to you and then to the state, and being a strong person in the political world. We ask that you give her a tremendous amount of energy so that she can be a world changer as well. Thank you. We ask that you be with our state officials, with all of those who are being nominated and into different offices in our state capital. Lord, we pray for guidance in that as well. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to share and to be a part of a family that we can share with one another our thoughts and our needs in our everyday life. Thank you, Lord, for being part of who we are. And I ask that you continue to bless Janet and all that she has. Yes. Bless your name, we pray.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you all for having me as a guest. Thank you. I appreciate you all. Love you all.
Yeah.
So very, very much.
Well, we love you, and you're always in our prayers. And Just want you to know that. Love you, Paul, that guy up there. Yeah, we're all with you. Steph, thanks. So good to see you guys. Love you. Have a great week. And ladies and gentlemen, God be with you and go with you when you wake up tomorrow morning, Ephesians 2. Ask God to show you the steps he's prepared just for you before the foundation of the world. Then just walk in them. He'll be ready for everything he has for you. So keep yourselves looking at the news. Pray for our president. Pray for Janet and all of the Republicans here in California, the needs that they have too. Keep our eyes on you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And we're carrying it to you every day. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Good night, Paul.
Night. Thank you.
Thank you, Melba and Joe.
Before you leave the moment, before the day moves on, carry one bright promise. The hope is not gone. From Pastor Joe and Melba Schofield, gathered here, Stephanie Thayer and Dr. Craig Thayer, Dr. Paul Hall and Ron Greer. Keep raising expectations in your home and in your heart. Keep raising expectations. Let faith become the start for family, freedom, faith and future, for wisdom, truth and grace. We go from good to better to best together with a brighter road to clear. Keep raising expectations in your home and in your heart. Keep raising expectations. Let faith become the start for family, freedom, faith and future, for wisdom, courage, truth and grace. We